Pence. There's another session later this afternoon with two more witnesses, former Ukraine Special Envoy Kurt Volker and former National Security Council member Tim Morrison. And two correctional officers who were supposed to be guarding Jeffrey Epstein when he was found dead in his cell in New York are charged with falsifying records. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest truck lines. They need drivers right now. If you want to know what your home time and your paycheck is going to be every week, call Wiley Sanders right now. Family owned and operated. 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We're looking at a great forecast for the next few days with a warming trend as well. Today, we've got lots of sunshine, high temperature in the upper 60s. That's actually close to normal for this time of the year. Clear skies, kind of chilly tonight. Overnight low temperature down to about 39. Tomorrow, the warming trend continues. High temperature in the low 70s. Thursday, we'll be in the low to mid 70s. A couple of beautiful November days ahead. Friday, how about mid 70s? Chance of a stray shower or two by Friday afternoon. Better chance of rain by Friday night into Saturday as a cold front moves through the state. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 3.5% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. A Montgomery man has been convicted in federal court for stealing nearly $200,000 from Wind Creek Casino. In August of 2018, Jory Dumas and two relatives recruited an employee of the casino to give access to the keys to the cash kiosks. Dumas walked out of the casino with more than $192,000. Opening statements will begin today in the murder trial of a Montgomery police officer charged with killing an unarmed black man. Aaron Cody Smith is charged in the 2016 shooting death of 58-year-old Gregory Gunn. A panel of 14 jurors was picked yesterday. And no arrests after a stabbing at a gas station in the 1100 block of Ann Street Monday afternoon. Police say the victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Why wait for Black Friday? Get Black Friday prices today at the Home Depot. Up to 40% off appliance special buys, plus up to $600 in extra savings instantly on select appliances. No rebate, no hassle. Like a Whirlpool white top mount refrigerator for just $548, over $180 off. Talk about holiday cheer. Black Friday savings early, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details, valid through December 5th.
So guys, how many of you are guilty of using your wife or your girlfriend's shampoo in the shower? Quite a few, I imagine. Have you considered the importance of using a product designed for your hair? Yes, men's hair. After all, your hair is different. Dove Men Plus Care has created a hair care range designed to fortify men's hair and give it the care it needs to stay strong and healthy. Do your family and your hair a favor and get your own products. Dove Men Plus Care for stronger, more resilient hair. Available at Walmart.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
President Trump tweets he's seriously considering the offer to testify in the impeachment inquiry himself.
The president could come right before the committee and talk, or he could do it in writing.
A deposition would likely be in writing if it ever happens at all.
Chief Justice John Roberts has ordered an indefinite delay to the House of Representatives' demands for President Trump's financial records.
Ford Mustang is going electric and becoming an SUV. The car maker just released photos of the Mustang Mach-E.
The shooting in a Walmart parking lot in Duncan, Oklahoma that left three dead appears to be a murder-suicide.
The suspect was wearing all black hoodie zipped up.
Thousands of subscribers to the Disney Plus app streaming service have already had their account details hacked and put up for sale on the dark web.
Oh, no! Intercepted by Sorensen! And Chiefs Kingdom can celebrate
as the Chiefs come up a 24-17 winner here in Mexico City. It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Actually, now here's Joey Clark. Dan had to step out for a moment, but he'll be right back. And joining us on the show now, my favorite local curmudgeon. He accepts the name kindly and gladly. Red Top, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. You know, that is stunning news, John Roberts, putting Donald Trump's tax records case on hold indefinitely.
It really is. Though, I mean, you look into the case, I'm not sure of the law in this. I think it really is up in the air because it's unique that I think the president's lawyers have actually argued in lower courts the Fifth Avenue immunity. Where, you know, Trump said I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and nobody would care. They said the president could technically shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and he couldn't be prosecuted until he was removed from office.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what they're claiming in the documents. And also they're claiming that essentially this district attorney for the Southern District of New York is just trying to dig up dirt on Trump. It's no legitimate reason for it. So we'll see where it goes.
Oh, yeah, well, and he's damn right. I mean, there's no other motivation than this for this whole thing. I have a question for you. This is all discussion about Donald Trump investigating a political rival.
Mm-hmm.
If Joe Biden was not a political rival, this is obvious, tons of corruption involved with him and his son.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be legitimate if he was not running?
I think it's legitimate now.
Donald Trump to investigate him?
I think it's legitimate now.
Oh, I do too. But the whole premise is not that he didn't commit a crime. The only thing keeping it from happening is he happens to be running for president.
Right, right. Exactly. You know, and I hear what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Joe Biden could have started running for president just to keep his butt out of jail. And if that's a true statement, you know, just all he has to do is run for president, and he doesn't get investigated for anything, or his son, and that's the precedent to me that they are presenting to us. If somebody, no matter how crooked he is running against you, you can't investigate him because he's a liar.
Yeah, it's absurd. Especially, you know, when it's a former vice president who played in foreign sandboxes, you can't look in that sandbox; it's foreign.
I ain't no doubt. And this testimony this morning, I listened to all of it. It's weak.
Yeah.
This guy with all his damn stars and bars, I don't care how many stars and bars the guy's got. He seems to be one of way too many people in the NSA and the State Department. They need one-tenth as many people to run this country as they have. And if we had less people, we wouldn't have all this crap going on.
It's very possible.
Yes. And, you know, kudos to Donald Trump for getting rid of a lot of these folks and not appointing permanent replacements, because he's doing better without these guys by far.
Right. Well, and also some of these holdovers, it's bad news. But we'll see. I want to know, upcoming this afternoon is Kurt Volker, the special envoy to Ukraine, and Morrison. Mr. Morrison was on the NSC and apparently Colonel Vindman's boss. And as brought up by Jim Jordan, Morrison found Vindman suspect when he first came on board, when Morrison first came on board. So it'd be interesting to figure out why he felt that way.
And let's talk about the big news of today, the revolution in Iran. I saw a lot of it on the German World News last night.
I was listening about it on a podcast or two yesterday afternoon.
Oh, man.
It's been ongoing for a while, and it's amazing stuff, really.
Yes, and these people are getting to be like people in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Revolutionary Guard's going to be able to control this.
Iran, for folks who don't know, Red Top, and I know you know a good bit, but folks who don't know, Iran is a crazy country in this sense that, yes, they have a very young population that loves a lot of the so-called Western way of life, all the modern luxuries. Like, for instance, they love sports cars. Like, I mean, they like all the modern trappings. And they do want kind of a democracy. They actually want a republic. But overlaid on top of this republic that does exist is this religious theocratic structure run by the Ayatollahs and the clerics and run by the Revolutionary Guard. And they're
the
ones suppressing.
Did you see the lady on the bridge?
I did not, no.
you should see the lady on the bridge over this giant freeway full of people with the cars stopped because they can't get gas. You need to YouTube or Google that. This Iranian woman took her job off, and she raised hell for 15 minutes.
Oh, I do have to check that out.
Death to the Ayatollah. We're tired of wearing face covers over our faces. She read the riot act to him, and I hope the lady's still alive today. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I guess I would love to hear the president say, bring back Persia. Enough with this Iran.
Good deal. Roll Tide, go Trump. Take care, Joey. I'll see you, bro.
Appreciate it, Red Top. Let's go back to the phones real quick before we go back to this hearing from earlier this morning. Welcome to the Dan Moore Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Kyle.
Hey, Kyle. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to... let's talk technicalities here for a minute.
Yeah.
Joe Biden has not been elected as the Democratic presidential nominee. So,
true.
Quite frankly, he's not a political opponent at the moment. Does that make sense?
Well, this is where it's so vague, legally speaking. It's all political. And I've never understood this from the beginning, and it's why I think Republicans should continue to pursue what happened with Biden and Hunter Biden and Burisma and all that. Because if there's actual corruption there, which apparently the State Department has confirmed, there's a great report of folks go to John Solomon's report, johnsolomonreports.com. He's got a piece out that came out last night where he said all this stuff that I was called a crazy conspiracy theorist and right-wing journalist for by the mainstream media, all this information has been vindicated by the Democrats' Adam Schiff's witnesses. There was concern at the State Department over Burisma and Hunter Biden. It's crazy.
And the Democrats, they're playing that double standard game, too, because you know what? Joe Biden was doing the exact same thing as President Trump was in trying to investigate corruption. Holy smoke.
Well, I think I think there's a difference, though, Kyle. I think Joe Biden and some others in the State Department and the Obama administration labeled certain people anti-corruption and other people corruption forces. And so they just labeled a person corrupt, get them fired, and we're rooting out corruption. As opposed to, looking into an actual appearance of a conflict of interest and the fact that you fired a guy you called corrupt, though I haven't seen much backing that up. I'm not saying it's untrue. It's just... it's bizarre how this is working.
Well, they're trying to do that with this president. They're trying to label President Trump as a criminal, and there's no criminal there.
Exactly. Well, and that's a great way to see this, Kyle, is it's all theater, political theater. This isn't a legal proceeding by any means.
And you're exactly right. And the saddest thing about it is, we're not getting any of the work of the people done, and it's bad theater. They're not even getting any ratings for it.
I know, and I have to say this. Miss Williams here, who works for Pence, looks like she has it together. I mean, I don't have the same assessment of her as Cooper, though I haven't been able to sit and watch it all day, so Cooper might be right. But she seems at least to have herself together pretty well. Vindman seems like a ball of nerves. Like, he just seems out of sorts.
But he puts me in mind of the way the Stooges stumble around, you know?
Right.
He can't seem to put together a whole sentence.
And what is with this game of the whistleblower? It's the most doggone weird thing I've ever heard of in the internet age. We have the internet. We can freely speak still in this country. We know who it is.
That's right. Not only do we know who it is, but there's no statute that says that you have to protect his identity.
Right.
None whatsoever.
Right. Which the New York Times and others have finally admitted. I appreciate it, Kyle.
Have a good one.
You too. Now, quickly, let's go back. I almost want to back it up a little bit. This is Mike Turner, a Republican from Ohio, who's been a very good inquisitor in these proceedings. Let's go back to him questioning Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
I'd say it's Ukraine policy. Have you ever met Giuliani?
Just to be, again, accurate, I said false narrative just because that's what I said in the record this morning.
Okay, so he's asking about, he mentions Vindman's opening statement, Turner does here, that you said Giuliani was pushing a false narrative. Have you ever met Rudy Giuliani? Continue.
But okay. I have not met him.
And so you've never had a conversation with him about Ukraine or been in a meeting where him, where, with him where he has spoken to others about Ukraine?
No, just what I saw him, his comments on TV.
So news
and
reports.
And news, yes.
And similarly, you've never met the President of the United States, right?
That is correct.
So you've never advised the President of the United States on Ukraine?
I advised him indirectly. I made all his preparations for the calls and
But you've never spoken to the President of the United States and told him advice on Ukraine?
That is correct.
So in your written statement, you said, in May, I attended the inauguration of President Zelensky as part of the president delegation led by Secretary Perry. Following the visit, the members of the delegation provided President Trump a debriefing. Well, that's not really accurate, right? Because the members didn't, because you were a member, but you weren't in that meeting, were you?
That is correct.
Okay, so we'll just have a note there that meeting occurred without you. Now, you do know that this impeachment inquiry is about the President of the United States, don't you?
I do, Representative.
Excellent. Now, you've said that you're responsible for coordinating U.S.-Ukrainian policy.
Correct.
Does the Secretary of State, Pompeo, report to you?
He does not.
Ambassador Volker?
He does not. We coordinate.
Ambassador of Ukraine, EU, NATO, Assistant Secretary for Europe, anyone at DOD report to you with respect to your responsibilities of coordinating U.S. policy with Ukraine?
Congressman, at my level, I convene what's called a sub-policy coordinating committee. That's Deputy Assistant Secretary. I chair those meetings. And
does anybody need your approval and your role on Ukraine policy to formulate Ukraine policy? Do they seek your approval?
According to the NSPM-4, the policy signed by the President,
so he
policy
gets
should be
it.
Coordinated by the,
he
by
gets
the NSC, correct. We help
Ms. Williams, do you have any information that any person who has testified as part of this impeachment inquiry, either in secret or in public, has either perjured themselves or lied to this committee?
I have not read the other testimonies, and
so you do not. Do you have any evidence, though, that they have perjured themselves or lied?
No, because I have not read them.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, do you have any evidence that anyone who has testified before this committee in the impeachment inquiry has perjured themselves or lied to this committee?
Not that I'm aware of.
Thank you. I yield back.
All right, so we'll leave it there for now. Get ahead another break. Another round of questioning coming up. I love this stuff, to be honest. It can be very frustrating, but to see these witnesses, it's night and day, folks, between seeing them in public, actually having to answer questions, this opposed to what the press did for several weeks, what the Democrats and the press did for several weeks, with all these leaks. You know, I signed up for the New York Times breaking news emails because, you know, number one, I hate myself and I want to be miserable seeing these breaking news pieces from the New York Times, but also just to, you know, stay abreast of what the media is saying. And it is night and day compared to the way the New York Times is, for instance, painting Colonel Vindman and what I'm actually getting to assess with my own eyes. Night and day. This is why we need transparency. We need to know identities of who people are. We need to see how they hold up under cross-examination. These are why we have these standards in courtrooms. It's important stuff. And finally, I guess the reason I like it is, well, we get to see some semblance of the truth. Though that's nowhere near what Adam Schiff is trying to cook up. Be back with more of the Dan Moore Show. Dan should be back in just a moment, right after this. Let's just be glad
for the time together. The Dan Moore Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
You've just arrived home from a relaxing and well-deserved vacation. As you walk in the door, you hear a squish. That old water heater in your attic has leaked through your ceiling and into your living room, ruining family photos, furniture, and who knows what else. You wonder if this headache could have been avoided. With a tankless water heater from Headley Plumbing, you eliminate the possibility of leaks and maximize your savings. An endless hot water supply means you have the freedom to run the dishwasher, do a load of laundry, and grab a shower without getting an arctic blast of cold water. Talk to Headley today, 285-3667, or visit them online at HeadleyPlumbing.com.
River Region residents know that Headley Plumbing has quick and affordable plumbing and septic services. You can also find quality metal buildings at Headley Plumbing, a new storage building, carports up to 24 feet wide, even a sturdy metal barn up to 54 feet wide. RV owners, check your warranty. Many manufacturers require that your RV is stored undercover to keep your warranty in force. Call Headley Metal Buildings today at 285-3667 or visit HeadleyMetalBuildings.com.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Two 7-2-9-2-2-8, that's where we are. Yeah, that Turner was interesting. His line of questioning.
Very interesting.
Sounds like they're setting up for something bigger. I can see this thing going to the Senate and them taking somebody like Bingaman apart.
Yes.
I think what he's done is he's testified now under oath, and they're going to go back and they're going to go, so you said this, but this is what the reality is.
And did you hear what I said right before that break? It's night and day compared to the leaks and the characterization of the media to actually seeing these people in the light of day.
Yeah, I like the thing that you hate yourself when you do the New York Times. I tell you, the New York Times, do you get the news, yeah, the little pop-up, the daily briefing and all that?
Yes.
They do a daily impeachment, yeah, roundup.
It's
daily.
So ridiculous.
And then when you get that little pop-up that says New York Times daily briefing of the articles, to go ahead and then you read them,
yeah,
you kind of go, gosh.
I feel bad for folks because, you know, we do this every day, so I read that stuff and kind of laugh or get frustrated half the time. But I feel bad for folks who that's their only source.
And there's a lot of America that's like that, too. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the New York Times, as Roger Stone would say, all the news is fit to print with a liberal tint.
There you go.
That was his deal here. Okay, who are we up to next? Winthrop?
Dr. Winthrop or Winthrop or something like that.
Let's go in and listen to this. This is great stuff.
Schiff's going to introduce it. When the matter does move to the Judiciary Committee and no decision has been made about the ultimate resolution, the White House, through its counsel, will have the opportunity to submit, make a submission to the Judiciary Committee. I now turn to Dr. Winthrop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lieutenant Colonel Bibman, thank you very much for being here. As an Army colonel who served a year in Iraq, I appreciate your service and the sacrifice that you made during that time, and I know the environment. And I understand and appreciate the importance of chain of command. In your deposition, you emphasize the importance of chain of command. You were a direct report to Dr. Fiona Hill and then Mr. Tim Morrison, and they were your seniors, correct?
That is correct.
When you had concerns about the 725 call between the two presidents, you didn't go to Mr. Morrison about that, did you?
I immediately went to John Eisenberg, the lead legal counsel.
So that doesn't seem like change of command. So in the deposition with Mr. Morrison, page 58 to 60.
Congressman, excuse me, please allow Colonel Vindman to answer. Yeah.
So I reported it to John Eisenberg. I attempted to report it to Mr. Morrison. He didn't avail himself. And at that point, I was told not to speak to anybody else.
Well, he did avail himself, and I'll get into
please,
that.
Please allow the witness to finish. Colonel, are you finished with your answer?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. In the Morrison deposition on page 58 to 60, the question was, do you know if anyone else on the call went to Eisenberg to express concerns? And your answer, and the answer was, I learned based on today's proceedings, based on open source reporting, which I have no firsthand knowledge, that other personnel did raise concerns. Question, who? Based on open source, without firsthand knowledge, Alex Vindman on my staff. The question then, and he reports to you, correct? Answer, he does. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's direct report was Mr. Morrison, and it didn't happen. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, in your deposition, page 96, the question was, okay, after the call on 725, do you have any discussions with Mr. Morrison about your concerns? Answer, after the call, per the exercise in the chain of command and expressing, I immediately went to the senior NSC legal counsel and shared those concerns. That would be Mr. Eisenberg, correct?
I'm sorry, my lawyer was talking. Could you say that again, please, doctor?
You went to Mr. Eisenberg. You've already said that, so we can go on. And you are not a JAG officer. You're not a lawyer. And on page 153 of your testimony deposition, in reference to that meeting with Mr. Eisenberg, you said, I was not making a legal judgment. All I was doing is sharing my concerns with my chain of command. Yet we've established that your direct report is to Mr. Morrison. So let's establish your role and your title. In your deposition, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, page 200, 201, in a colloquy with Mr. Stewart, you said, I would say, first of all, I'm the director for Ukraine. I'm responsible for Ukraine. I'm the most knowledgeable. And I'm there for the National Security Council and the White House. Are you the only one of the entire universe of our government or otherwise that can advise the president on Ukraine? Couldn't someone like Ms. Williams also advise on Ukraine? It's in her portfolio.
That's not typically what would happen. It would be, frankly, it would be Ambassador Bolton.
So other people can advise on Ukraine besides you. Going on in your testimony, you said, I understand all the nuances, the context, and so forth surrounding these issues. I, on my judgment, went. I expressed concerns within the chain of command, which I think to me, as a military officer, is completely appropriate, and I exercised that chain of command. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, on your deposition, page 259, you said, I forwarded my concerns through the chain of command, and the seniors then decide the action to take. Mr. Morrison's your senior. He didn't know about it. How can he decide an action to take? But that's what you said. In Mr. Morrison's deposition, page 60, the question is, at what point did you learn that Lieutenant Colonel Vindman went to Eisenberg? He said, about the 25th phone call? He said, yes, in the course of reviewing for this proceeding, reviewing the open record. So the next question, so Eisenberg never came to you and relayed to you the conversation? He said, no. He said, Ellis never did either. Not to the best of my recollection. So Mr. Morrison was skipped in your chain of command about your other concerns. So Mr. Morrison said he's the final clearing authority. He said he saw your edits. Do you remember if all of the edits were incorporated? And he said, yes, I accepted all of them. That's on page 6162. So he believes all your edits were accepted. Let me ask you, were in your edits, did you insist that the word demand be put into the transcription between the conversation of the two presidents?
I did not.
But you did say that in your opening statement today. Thank you, and I yield back.
Wow. You should see the look on Vindman's face. It looked like he just ate a sour tart.
Oh, wow. Well, remember Warheads?
Yeah.
He's really trying to get to the mouth. Sweet really quick.
This is 793.1. We're going to fast forward. We're going to be back right after this. We'll be right back.
Dan Morris Show.
Broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Are you sitting there daydreaming about the day you retire? The day they have the office party for you, and at quitting time, you pack up all your stuff and you leave work for one last time. Well, you better stop daydreaming because it'll be here before you know it. And if you haven't already called him, you better do it right now. I'm talking about David Ernest. David is an asset preservationist. That means he's a guy who helps you keep your money. That old 401k or that IRA that's just laying around, let David Ernest roll it into something for you that's going to start earning money and getting you set up for retirement. Call David Ernest today, 279-7431. That's 279-7431. He's been doing this for nearly 40 years, and he's the money man with the money plan. Let David Ernest put your money to work for you. Call him right now, 279-7431. Ernest Financial, LLC.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. One of the witnesses at today's impeachment inquiry hearing, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, says he spoke about President Trump's July phone call with Ukraine's president with a few people, all with appropriate clearance.
House Intelligence Committee ranking member Devin Nunes prodded to find out more.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Chairman Democrat Adam Schiff interjected, warning Republicans against trying to out the whistleblower.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in D.C. Here's President Trump.
I never saw the man. I understand now he wears his uniform when he goes in. No, I don't know Vindman at all.
Today's other witness so far is Jennifer Williams, a State Department aide to Vice President Pence. There's another session later this afternoon with two more witnesses, former Ukraine Special Envoy Kurt Volker and former National Security Council member Tim Morrison. And two correctional officers who were supposed to be guarding Jeffrey Epstein when he was found dead in his cell in New York are charged with falsifying records. America's listening to Fox News.
The holidays are here, but thousands of families in the River Region will go to bed hungry. Blue Water Broadcasting is doing something about it, and you can help.
Drop off non-perishable food items to Montgomery Eye Physicians or at the radio station.
Help stuff our Sprinter van full of food.
Montgomery Eye Physicians, helping you to see life clearly.
It's our holiday food drive. Donate what you can from Blue Water Broadcasting.
To find out how you can help, visit newstalk931.com.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Caravita Village. Tour the resort-style senior living community with options like companion suites or luxury 1, 2, and 3-bedroom private suites. Learn more at caravitavillage.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We're looking at a great forecast for the next few days with a warming trend as well. Today, we've got lots of sunshine, high temperature in the upper 60s. That's actually close to normal for this time of the year. Clear skies, kind of chilly tonight. Overnight low temperature down to about 39. Tomorrow, the warming trend continues. High temperature in the low 70s. Thursday, we'll be in the low to mid 70s. A couple of beautiful November days ahead. Friday, how about mid 70s? Chance of a stray shower or two by Friday afternoon. Better chance of rain by Friday night into Saturday as a cold front moves through the state. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Okay, who's next bat here? Is it
Chris Stewart?
No, okay, he's good. This isn't him.
Thank you for being here today. Lieutenant Colonel Binman, I see you're wearing your dress uniform. Knowing that's not the uniform of the day, you normally wear a suit to the White House. I think it's a great reminder of your military service. I, too, come from a military family. These are my father's Air Force Wings. He was a pilot in World War II. Five of his sons served in the military. So as one military family to another, thank you and your brothers for your service. Your example here. I'm curious, when Ranking Member Nunez referred to you as Mr. Binman, you quickly corrected him and wanted to be called Lieutenant Colonel Binman. Do you always insist on civilians calling you by your rank? Mr. Stewart, Representative Stewart, I'm in uniform wearing my military rank. I just thought it was appropriate to stick with that. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Stewart, I apologize. I don't believe you did, but the attacks that I've had in the press, in Twitter, have kind of eliminated the fact that either marginalized me as a military officer, I'm just telling you that the ranking member met no disrespect to you. I believe that. I'd like to go back to your previous testimony earlier today. Much has been talked about, as we've discussed, between the President Trump and President Zelensky, and the word favor, and this being interpreted as a basis for impeachment. And your interpretation of the word favor, and I'll paraphrase you, and you feel free to correct me, you said, in the military culture, which you and I are both familiar with, when a superior officer asks for a favor of a subordinate, they will interpret that as a demand. Is that a fair synopsis of what you previously stated? Representative, when a superior makes a request, that's an order. Okay. In short, you think your interpretation of a favor as a demand is based on your military experience and the military culture? I think that is correct. Is President Trump a member of the military? He is not. Has he ever served in the military? Not that I'm aware of. Is President Zelensky a member of the military? I don't know. He's not. Would it be fair, then, to take a person who has never served in the military and to take your reevaluation of their words based on your military experience and your military culture, and to attach that culture and that meaning of those words to someone who has never served?
Excellent point.
Representative, I made that judgment. I stick by that judgment. Okay, well, I got to tell you, I think it's nonsense. Look, I was in the military. I could distinguish between a favor and an order and a demand, and so could my subordinates. And I think President Zelensky did as well. He never initiated an investigation. In fact, he's been very clear. He said, I never felt any pressure at all. So you interpreted the word favor, but the two people who were speaking to each other did not interpret that as a demand. It was your interpretation. Is that fair? The context of this call, consistent with the July 10th meeting, with the reporting that was going on, including the president's personal attorney, made it clear that this was not simply a request. Well, that's not true at all. It's not clear at all. You say it makes it clear. It's not clear at all. And the two individuals who were talking to each other didn't interpret it that way. I'd like to go on to discuss your reaction to the phone call and, again, your previous testimony. And for brevity and for clarity, I'm going to refer to your previous testimony, page 155. Your attorney is welcome to follow on. Quoting you, Lieutenant Colonel Binman, I did not know whether this was a crime or anything of that nature. I thought it was wrong. And I'd like to key on the word wrong here, because we're going to come back to that. In my mind, did I consider this factor that could have been other implications? Yes, but it wasn't the basis of, I don't know, lodging a criminal complaint or anything like that. Then you go on to talk about policy concerns and moral and ethical judgments. So your concerns regarding this phone call were not legal. They were based on moral, ethical, and policy differences. Let me ask you then, and you, which you thought were wrong, to use your word. You said this was wrong, not illegal, but wrong. There are, as I've stated previous, sitting here a couple days ago, there are dozens of corrupt nations in the world, hundreds of corrupt government officials. Exactly one time did a vice president go to a nation and demand the specific firing of one individual and give a six-hour time limit and withhold or threaten to withhold $1 billion in aid if not. It was the one individual who was investigating a company that was paying his son. So I'll ask you, was that also wrong?
That is not what I understand. I frankly don't have any firsthand knowledge of that.
You've not seen the video?
I've seen the video.
That's all I've described is the video. Everything I just said to you was in the video. Was that wrong as well?
Congressman, this is something I actually participate in.
I think the American people can make a judgment.
That I don't know.
The time of the gentleman has expired. Colonel Vindman, if you'd like to answer the question, you're more than welcome.
I frankly don't know that much more about that particular incident. I saw the snippet of the video, but
wow.
I don't know if I can make a judgment off that.
Thank you. Mr. Quigley.
Did you see how his eyes started squinting?
Yeah, when he got tongue-tied. Man.
That's incredible. All right, Stefanik, Miguel.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. They're building a case against him.
Yes.
They're getting him on the record answering things. They have not asked him about how much you knew about Hunter Biden and Burisma and the whole, and the corruption and that kind of stuff. And Ukraine is his portfolio? Okay, Stefanik, she's great.
Key facts have not changed that are critical to these impeachment proceedings. One, Ukraine, in fact, received the aid. And two, there was no investigation into the Bidens. My question to both of you today will focus on the following. Systemic corruption in Ukraine. Two, highlighting for the public that by law, aid to Ukraine requires anti-corruption efforts. And three, who in our government has the decision-making authority when it comes to foreign policy and national security matters? So on corruption in Ukraine, as Ambassador Yovanovitch testified, one of the key reasons why President Zelensky was overwhelmingly elected by the Ukrainian people was that they were finally standing up to rampant corruption in their country. Would you both agree with the ambassador's assessment?
Yes.
Yes.
And Ms. Williams, corruption was such a critical issue from your perspective that when you prepared the vice president for his congratulatory call with President Zelensky, you testified that the points you wanted to communicate on the call were the following. Quote, looked forward to seeing President Zelensky really implement the agenda on which he had run related to anti-corruption reforms. That's correct.
That is, yes.
And Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, would you agree that this focus on anti-corruption is a critical aspect of our policy towards Ukraine?
I would.
And Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you are aware that in 2014, during the Obama administration, the first anti-corruption investigation partnered between the U.S., the U.K., and Ukraine was into the owner of the company Burisma.
I'm aware of it now.
And Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified that you were aware that Burisma had questionable business dealings. That's part of its track record.
That is correct.
You also testified that regarding Burisma, money laundering, tax evasion comports with your understanding of how business is done in Ukraine. Is that correct?
I'm not aware of specific incidents, but my understanding is that it would not be out of the realm of the possible for Burisma.
Well, that's page 207 from your testimony, but I'll move on. You are aware that Hunter Biden did sit on the board of Burisma at this time.
I am.
Well, I know that my constituents in New York 21 have many concerns about the fact that Hunter Biden, the son of the vice president, sat on the board of a corrupt company like Burisma. The Obama administration, State Department, was also concerned, and yet Adam Schiff refuses to allow this committee to call Hunter Biden despite our requests. Every witness who has testified and has been asked this has answered yes. Do you agree that Hunter Biden on the board of Burisma has the potential for the appearance of a conflict of interest?
Certainly the potential, yes.
And Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Now, shifting to the legal requirements that our aid to Ukraine is conditioned on anti-corruption, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified that you understood that Congress had passed, under the Ukrainian Security Assistance Initiative, a legal obligation to certify that corruption is being addressed.
That is correct.
And you also testified that it is required by the National Defense Authorization Act.
That is correct.
So for the public listening, we are not just talking about President Trump focusing on anti-corruption in Ukraine, but it is so critical, so important that hard-earned taxpayer dollars, when given to foreign nations, that by law, overwhelmingly bipartisan support requires anti-corruption in Ukraine in order to get U.S. taxpayer-funded aid. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you spoke extensively about the importance of defensive lethal aid to Ukraine, specifically javelins. This was in your deposition.
Correct.
And you testified that the javelin in particular, because of its effectiveness in terms of influencing the Russian decision calculus for aggression, it is one of the most important tools we have when it comes to providing defensive lethal aid.
The system itself and the signaling of U.S. support, yes.
And it is a fact that that aid was provided under President Trump and not President Obama.
That is correct.
And my last question, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, I know you serve at the NSC in the White House. I served in the West Wing of the White House for President Bush on the Domestic Policy Council and in the Chief of Staff's office, so I'm very familiar with the policy process. I also know that as a staff member, the person who sets the policy of the United States is the president, not the staff. And you testified that the president sets the policy, correct?
That is correct.
And I respect your deep expertise, your tremendous service to our country. We can never repay those that have worn the military uniform and served our nation. But I was struck when you testified in your deposition. I would say, first of all, I'm the director for Ukraine. I'm responsible for Ukraine. I'm the most knowledgeable. I'm the authority for Ukraine, for the National Security Council, and the White House. I just want a clarification. You report to Tim Morrison, correct?
In my advisory,
your direct report is Tim Morrison,
yeah, in
correct?
My advisor, just to clarify, in my advisory capacity, I advise up through the chain of command. That's what I do.
And the chain of command is Tim Morrison to Ambassador John Bolton, the National Security Advisor to the President of the United States.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And do you agree that the President sets the policy as Commander-in-Chief, as you testified previously?
Absolutely.
Thank you. My time's expired.
Good job, Stefanik. You're building a case. Can we do Swalwell, or do we want to be
only if he's on his vegan diet and he's farting again?
Who's next? Who's the next Republican? Well, let's do a little bit. Let's do that. Let's go to a break. Mm-hmm. We can flash ahead. We'll be back right after this.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Alabama is a state deeply rooted in military tradition. And we at Alabama Home Mortgage appreciate the sacrifices that our men and women in uniform make each and every day. I'm Kim Williams, and I'm here to tell you there is a difference in mortgage companies. Don't be fooled by mortgage companies with veteran in their name. Call the mortgage company with veterans in their blood. The entire Alabama Home Mortgage staff are children of military veterans. We understand what it means to serve. If you're looking for a VA loan, call Alabama Home Mortgage 567-4223. With a VA loan, there's no money out of pocket. 100% financing. There's simply nothing better than a VA mortgage loan. Ella, tell them what to do.
Call my mom, Kim Williams, at 567-4223. That's 567-4223.
That's right. Or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to get your VA home loan today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
That's where we are. Okay, Will Hurd is next. And Will Hurd, I had a cut of him from this morning on Fox and Friends. He was excellent. I think there's going to be an interesting piece here.
Thanking you for your service. We share a personal hero in Dr. Rice, so great minds think alike. Did you participate in or overhear any conversations about how potential information collected from the Ukrainians on the Bidens would be used for political gain?
No, I did not participate or overhear any conversations along those lines.
Thank you. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, I think all of us would agree that your father made the right move to come here, and we're glad that he did. You've talked about how part of your responsibilities is developing talking points for your principals. Is that correct?
That is correct.
President, I'm assuming you also do that for your direct supervisor currently right now, Mr. Morrison. Is that correct?
Mr. Morrison has left the position some time ago already, at least 3 weeks ago.
But you prepare talking points for your supervisors. Is that correct?
Typically, frankly, at that level, they don't really take talking points, especially if they have expertise. The talking points are more intended for National Security Advisor, although Ambassador Bolton didn't really require him because of his deep expertise.
It's sure.
The next level up, the president.
But traditionally, I'm just trying to establish that this position is somebody that creates talking points for a number of people. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Do they always use them?
No.
Or is President Trump known to stick to a script?
I don't believe so.
That he didn't use your talking points?
No, it is not.
In your deposition, if your lawyer wants to follow on, it's page 306. You were asked about events during the temporary holds on U.S. assistance to Ukraine. This is that 55-day period or so. And you testified that the U.S. administration did not receive any new assurances from Ukraine about anti-corruption efforts, and the facts on the ground did not change before the hold was lifted. Is that accurate in recounting your testimony?
That is accurate.
When was President Zelensky sworn in?
He was sworn in on, May 20th, 2019.
And then he had a new parliament, too, elected after he was. Is that correct?
He did.
And when was that parliament seated?
That was July 21st, 2019.
That was when they won, right? They weren't properly seated until August.
That's right. That's when they won, and they weren't seated until August.
Your boss's boss, Ambassador Bolton, traveled to Ukraine in late August, right? August 27, 28, is that correct?
That is correct.
Did he take you with you? Did he take you with him?
He didn't.
We know from other witnesses that when Ambassador Bolton was there, he met with President Zelensky and his staff, and they talked about how they were visually exhausted, because one of the things that President Zelensky did during that time period was change the Ukrainian constitution to remove absolute immunity from Rada deputies, right? Some of their parliamentarians, because that had been the source of raw corruption for a number of years. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Were you aware of this important change to Ukrainian law?
Of course, yep.
And you don't believe that's a significant anti-corruption effort?
No, it is. It is significant.
It's pretty significant, correct. Also, Ambassador Taylor testified that President Zelensky, with this new parliament, opened Ukraine's high anti-corruption court. Right, this had been an initiative that many folks and in our State Department had been pushing to happen, and that was established in that time frame. Were you aware of this?
Yes.
Do you think this is a significant anti-corruption?
I do.
When you talked about, how many times have you met President Zelensky?
I think it was just the one time from the presidential delegation. Multiple engagements, but just the one trip.
And that's a one-on-one meeting?
That was in a larger bilateral format. Then there were a couple of smaller venues. They were all in. There was never a one-on-one, but there were a couple of again touch points. So the bilateral meeting, handshake, meet and greet. Gotcha. He had a short.
So there was a lot of people in the room.
Yeah.
When you met with them.
Yes, Congressman.
But you still advise the Ukrainian president to watch out for the Russians.
Yes.
And everybody else in the room, I'm assuming the National Security Advisor was there, I believe. In this case, you had other members of the administration. Was that, were your points pre-approved? Did they know you were going to bring up those points?
We did have a huddle beforehand, and it's possible I flagged them, but I don't recall specifically. It's possible I didn't.
And you counseled the Ukrainian president to stay out of U.S. politics?
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, I yield back the time I do not have.
Chairman,
I love her. Hurd is a former CIA guy, by the way, and he is not seeking re-election. He is the only person not seeking re-election that I know about that would actually get beat because of the makeup of his district and the fact that the wall and some other things, he's kind of at odds with his district right now. Who's next on there?
Right after this, in just a few seconds,
Ratcliffe?
Sir John Ratcliffe, yes.
Sir John?
Yes, Sir John.
Sir John. Did you watch Bozo Prince Andrew do it again?
I watched some of it. I had this conspiracy theory of my own. Do you think the Queen finally was like, I've never liked Andrew. Let him hang himself.
See him out in the gutter somewhere. They're going to kick him out.
That is the most bizarre TV interview I've ever seen. Like, talk about somebody completely out of touch.
Oh, man. She said I was sweating. I don't sweat. I have a medical problem.
I have a medical condition where I don't sweat.
Boy, that's a defense.
Sounds like some royal BS.
Yeah, man. Okay, let's go to Ratcliffe.
Thank you, Chairman. Ms. Williams, you testified that what you noted as being unusual about the call that took place on July 25th was that the president raised what appeared to be a domestic political issue, correct?
Correct.
But raising an issue, even one that you thought was unusual, is different than making a demand. Would you agree?
Yes.
And as I read your deposition, it didn't sound like from your testimony that you heard what took place on that call as a demand for investigations. Is that fair?
I don't believe I'm in a position to characterize it further than the president did in terms of asking for a favor.
You didn't hear a demand.
Again, I would just refer back to the transcript itself.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you've testified and explained to us why, in your mind, it was a demand. And you've given us reasons, a disparity of power between the two presidents. And because you did feel that way, you also felt that you had a duty to report what you thought was improper. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So, two different people, two impartial observers. One felt the need to report the call because there was a demand that was improper, and one that didn't report it to anyone. You didn't report it to anyone, right, Ms. Williams?
I ensured that the information was available to my superiors.
So, while all this might seem as clear as mud, I think your honest and candid assessments of what you heard on the call tells us what we need to know. We have two independent folks, nonpartisans, and I'm not hearing a consensus between the two of you about what exactly you both
heard. Guys, we need to go to a break. We're going to come right back to this part of it. Ratcliffe does make, I've heard this portion before.